This evening we have our good friend Randy Basket with us. There's a lot I could tell you about Randy. I think I was sharing with many of you what happened when Mary invited me and Eleanor to go in and pray over people in that room of 10. Well, the conference before that, it was Randy that was praying over my wife and I. And it was amazing the prophetic words that he was given and the word that he gave us. But I don't feel to take too much time. I just feel like our hearts are ready to hear the word of the Lord. I will say this, though, Randy. It may seem a bit strange or different, but when I looked at you, I saw this little clergy collar. And then when I continued to look, it's like I saw you taking that water and that incense like that. But you know how the water just kind of splashes out? What I saw was fire that was going out and splashing upon the people. And as you were going like that and splashing it out to different ones, it's like the fire of the Lord, the power of his Holy Spirit was splashing out on those that you were blessing. And it was a priestly blessing. A priestly blessing is a high order. A high order of God. You know, I just want to mention one more thing. We don't take up a normal offering, but there is offering baskets up here. As you feel the drawing of the Lord, and many of you have sown in already, but as you feel impact of the Spirit and you feel to give, when the message is going on, whatever it is, just go ahead and sow in. And bless our band, bless our speakers. Yes. I'm just going to give this to you, Randy. Here you go. Take off.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, don't clap for me. If you're going to clap for anybody, clap for him. He's worthy. Amen. Let's give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. He's the only one worthy. I'm just another guy, you know. That my wife reminded me to clean my nose and zip my pants up, you know? I got to tell you a story. We were in this church. We had a church in Florida, and my wife was sitting. I love my wife, my best friend. And she's sitting in the chair, and she's going. I went, what? And so our friend, Terry, she goes, oh, geez, Randy, zip up your pants. And so it's like, you know, like wives are good for that kind of stuff, you know, because guys, you know, we just are guys, you know, it's like, we're guys, you know, we're just guys. I asked Robert, please, no pulpit. I'm not really a pulpit kind of guy. I like music stands because I just do. And I don't usually do a handheld mic. I brought my headset mic, and that's not because I think I'm anything, but under the anointing, I start shaking. And I was going like this one time, and I heard a lady goes, oh, dear God, we got to pray for him. He's got Parkinson's disease. No, I don't. And then every once in a while, ho, you know, and the Holy Ghost, like, ho, oh, dear God, he's got Tourette's too. No, I don't. And so I just go, okay, God, you know, we're just whatever you want to do. I don't care. It's not about me. It's about him. And I do. The Bible tells us that we give honor where honor is due. Amen? Come on. And there's a lady here, and if I ever, never, ever did not honor her, I think God would deal with me. I really honor Mary Glazier. A little over 20 years ago, amen, amen. Because I call her my spiritual mom, and she might not agree with that, but I don't care. Because she's always just been this. If you ever known Mary Glazier, she loves everybody. She has this ability to love you. She wants to love you. She don't care about what you are, who you are. She doesn't care if you're not clean, you're perfect. She just wants to love you. And one time about 20-some years ago, we were sitting around the fire and we're in Gokona. And because she always came to my camp because, one, I had a great camp and I had a great fire. And I had a camp espresso. Hello. And my cappuccinos were second to none. And Mary was there. I mean, when the sun was going down, there was Mary. She was ready for her cappuccino. And so anyway, we were going and I was telling Mary, I said, Mary, now I've been in the ministry for 30 years. When I got saved 34 years ago, God really just launched us. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that, about the prophetic and how we move in the prophetic and how you're going to move in the prophetic. Because I'm one of those kind of people that I don't do anything unless I'm going to equip you to do it. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, I only have one job. If you're a prophet, you're an apostle, evangelist, teacher, pastor, I don't care what you are, you only have one job, and that's to equip God's people for the works of ministry. Everybody say ministry. We got to get equipped, and we got to get people equipped for ministry. There's no other, we have no other thing we need. If we're going to just come and preach a groovy message, you might as well just put on a CD. I said CD. I didn't say tape. Me, it's MP3, okay? Come on. But see, God wants us to equip people for the works of service. And I'm going to show you how tonight, how to tap into the power of God. See, the Bible says this, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power. If you don't believe we receive power, then what are you doing here? I was with Mike Warnke in 1987, and we went to a Striper concert, and we were going to expose these guys as, you know, like as, you know, these people that were of the devil that were trying to infiltrate, you know, Christianity. And so I'm sitting there with Mike, and Mike, we had these backstage passes because Mike Horn, he got to get again for us. And so we get these backstage passes, so we go out there, we're going to just hit them with the gospel. And the lead guitar player's got this kid pinned up against the wall. He slaps the cigarette out of his mouth, and he says, "Do you think I dress up like this just to be, you know, to get money? I do this so I can reach punks like you for the gospel." And I looked at Mike, and Mike looked at me, and he said, "I ain't got no problem." But God has taken this little Alaska boy. I have been on every continent in this globe except Antarctica. And I thank God, penguins don't need Jesus, or I'd have been there too. But I've been all over the world. And I look back and I go, and by the way, I want to preface this one thing. If I say I or anything, I'm only boasting in God, what God's done with me. I take no credit, so if I don't say God did or whatever, just know that, okay? Can I just say that now? Okay, because we're human, right? Do you know what human means in Latin by any way? I got to show you off my education somehow. Does anybody know what human means in Latin? It means of flesh. Hue is of man, is flesh. So we're human, we're flesh. We make mistakes, we get it wrong sometimes. And me, it's weekly, daily, and every minute. Let's see, it's been, about an hour since I repented last. And but God has a plan. He's got a purpose for every one of us. Every one of you have a plan and a purpose that God has written down for you, about you, since before you were conceived. You just need to start tapping into it. You need to start changing your mindset. In Ephesians 4:17, it says, put off the futile thinking as the Gentiles do. In my Bible, when I had a Bible, now my wife bought me my iPad, and now I don't carry a Bible because I used to carry like 12 books. You know, it had all my concordances and everything else, because when I'd go, man, I was prepared. I mean, I don't care what translation you're reading, I had it. Now my wife bought me an iPad, I just push a button, and I'm in that translation. I'm in whatever you want to hear, I can do it. I like it. I like it. Now I just got to learn how to turn it on. But anyway, God is doing something in the earth today, and I want to talk to you what God has been speaking and what the heartbeat we talked about last night about this shift that God is doing, this realigning of the church, how we are getting into the cadence or the rhythm of God. There's a rhythm that is coming out of heaven that is aligning us up with God. I can't say it any clearer than that. And Judith, I got to say, for stealing my notes, that you delivered it wonderful, dear. It's awesome. But, you know, it's not unusual for prophetic people to get together, and when they're sharing, they're lined up. Because, you know what? It's the same God. It's the same Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:4. He says it's the same God, same Spirit, same Jesus. So it's not any wonder that we are aligning up with God together. I was telling my wife this morning, as we were driving here, and I said, man, this is what God's doing, you know, since Judith robbed this from me. I have this word, and this God just, he's just, man, it's coming up. And so we talk all the way here, and we're talking about it. Yeah, I'm excited about it. And I said, I'm going to share about it tonight. And so anyway, we're driving back, and so Tracy, we get back to our room, and I get alone, and I'm doing, Tracy's overdoing. She goes, I got to read this to you. If it won't bother you, and I said, it'll bother me. She goes, I'll wait. And so she reads it to me, and I rip my page off my tablet, and I went, I quit, because she was reading Duck Pierce's word, which is word for word what I just wrote. And I just read it to Tracy, and she goes, oh, Randy, listen to this. And so she starts reading it, and I went, man. But see, God doesn't do anything on earth unless he reveals it to the prophets first. See, we are coming into a season, people, and you've got to listen to this. We're coming into a season of Shabbat. Now, we've been hearing this. You've been hearing intercessors talking about this for a while. When the intercessors start speaking it and they start praying about it, I'm telling you what, the prophets are right behind them to prophesy it. Because prophets and intercessors have this thing that works together. You know, I want an intercessor. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how God does things. I need an intercessor. You're an intercessor. You're not that you think you are, you want to be, you are. You have to be. You're an intercessor. Come here. One of you. I don't care. You're one of you. Come here. I'm shaking because I got the anointing. It's like, okay, now stay right there. As an intercessor, she can stand there and she can, you know, just be everything sweet by and by. Now, Judith, come here. And now, Judith is a prophetess. If you don't believe me, hang around this woman. Now, I want you guys just to hold each other's hand for a minute. I want you to watch what God does when God takes a prophet and he puts it with an intercessor. Yeah, they act crazy. But all prophets are crazy. Come on, read about Elijah. That guy was nuts. Come on, he was nuts. But when you start seeing now, I want you to start praying in the Spirit, and I want you to start praying in the Spirit. That's all I want you to do. Just start praying in the Spirit. I don't care how you do it. You can do it in quiet. You can do whatever. But you're going to watch a shift that's going to happen. There it is. When you get a prophet and an intercessor, not somebody that just prays. I'm talking about an intercessor. When you start watching, you see the shift happens? See, this is demonstrating how the power of God, what happens with God. And this is, these are the things of God. And we all of you can tap into this because it's the same God, the same Spirit that is working here wants to work there. He wants to work in your house. He wants to work in your car. He wants to work while you're working in a grocery store or whatever. Thank you, ladies. Fun time's over. You know, it's funny. You can always tell. I always wanted to do this, and I never did, you know. I always want to get up, you know, when they introduce me, I get up and go, hello, I'm Randy. I'm a Holy Ghost junkie. I'm hooked on the new wine, and I don't want to be cured. Wouldn't it be cool if you got up in front of a church, you know, when you're going to preach somewhere? Hi, I'm Randy, and I'm a Holy Ghost. Like an AA meeting. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? I just think it'd be funny. I like doing stuff that just gets people out of their zone. This year we're going into is a serious time. The season of Shabbat. Now, I'm going to explain that. What is the season of Shabbat? Shabbat, you know, the time of rest. You know, the seventh day God rests. But see, the year of 5775 is what the year is. And it's really called, it's God of God's grace perfected. If you look at numerals and how numbers going, and I was just talking to a lady that's just this number freak, and she was telling me, she said, Randy, this is what we're doing. Actually, she was a lady that I knew from college. And so she said, 5775, the year 5775 is a year of God's grace perfected. This is the time in the year for us to start calling in promises and words that were spoken over us. Listen to me. If you listen to nothing else, listen to me. This is the time and season to start calling in those things that have been spoken over you by the prophets. Hello. See, I said it this last night. Prophets are only effective when they're received or when they are listened to. Until then, a prophet is just a prophet. He's just another man walking down the street, you know, just, you know, chewing on grass. I don't know. Jack, would you stand up for a minute? And just you and your wife. I love God. God showed me this, Jack, and you're one of these kind of guys that go on things like bulldogs. You just like, I'll go after it. You just go after it. And sometimes you feel like maybe you're not spinning your wheels, but you're not getting the traction to go and do things. God wants you to know it's because he has been lifting up your tires because, or you would get ahead of God. And God will never let you, Jack, get ahead of him. He will never let you get behind him because he will pull you along. That God says, I have used you and I continue to use you, but you're going to be used at my pace, not yours. Amen. Okay.
This morning when I woke up, please stand up, doll. This morning when I woke up, the Lord said, you're going to bless your sister today with one of your ivory jewelry. And I said, which one, Lord? And he said, the one that Dorcas gave you. Now, Dorcas Bloom was a mother, a long time mother in our state. She was a longtime evangelist, prophetic evangelist, and she just went home to be with the Lord. And she made this. And the Lord said for me to bless you with this, Dahlia. And I thought I was going to do it this morning, but he said to wait till tonight because there was going to be a word from you for them tonight. Amen. And the Lord wants to honor you. And he says that this ivory jewelry is even as you wear it, that the mantle of Dorcas Bloom will come upon you. And that it's enwrapped in ivory and tiger's eye, and you have an eye of a tiger. And that God is going to begin to open your eyes even prophetically in a new way, and you will get up to speak what you see. I tell you, you will get up to speak what you see, and it will begin to burn in your bones. And the Lord says that both of you carry a prophetic evangelistic anointing, and it's different than the way other people's have theirs. It's different. It's in your home. You carry it. So I just bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sis, with this that Dorcas Bloom made. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to step back because I'll do these rabbit trails. You don't mind rabbit trails, do you? You know the neat thing about a rabbit trail is you get to eat the rabbit at the end. I always went on a rabbit trail, man, and that, I always found the rabbit trails because I knew I could find the rabbit, and then I had dinner. I never starved when I was out in the woods, you know. You outfox them, you know. But Mary, you did something for Tracy and I that I want to continue with the honoring. And about 20-some years ago, we were sitting around the fire, and I told Mary that I was wanting to quit ministry. I wanted to go. I wanted to go back into business because I have this ability to gain money. I don't know what it is, but I have the ability to take business and I can turn it around and I can make money. I just have that gift. Money just nothing. And Mary told me something, because I told her I was always feeling God. And I'm speaking this because I know there's some of you here that is hindering you because you think you're not good enough and you're always failing at something. And Mary said something to me that literally, radically changed my life. I've been ministering it all around the world. I have ministered it in our school of ministry. And I will continue speaking. She said, Randy, God is not looking for somebody that's perfect. He's looking for somebody that he can perfect. Changed my life. Changed my life. And I don't ever tell people really that story. I always make them think that I've got this wisdom like, oh, that's awesome, Randy. That came from you. And yeah, that's right, man. I just spoke it. You know, it's like I just thought of it like that. No, I don't do that. But I've thought about it. Hey, I'll be honest. Come on. God is so good. I want to talk to you a little bit, how do I hear God, and how can you hear from God? And then we're going to demonstrate the power of God. I'm just waiting for the fullness of the anointing. I feel the anointing, but I want this atmosphere to be full. Come on. I have another saying that I teach people, you become whatever you're not willing to walk away from. And there's that's so true. If you have desires of the things of God, get around people that are desires of God. If you are desires of the anointing, get around people that have the anointing. I used to be around Mary and Judith, man. They would wonder, why is this guy following me? You know, like stalking charges. Come on, get him away. Security. But you know what? It's because I was hungry for the anointing. See, when I first got saved, I didn't have a church. I didn't have anybody to teach me. I had my Bible, and I would run home from work. My wife was there. She'll tell you. I would run home from work. I would take a shower. I was a mechanic. And I would take a shower, and I'd spend some time with my wife and my child. And I would go down, and I would get in the presence of God. See, nobody told me that, hey, it's not, you don't speak. You can't really get in the presence of God. You know, that just doesn't happen. And then we had somebody came up to me and said, you know, that's not right. You're taking time away from your family when you should be with your family. You know, you're spending too much time in the Word. But all I had was the Holy Spirit, and he would teach me the Word. I would get to a place, and the Holy Spirit audibly would say, do you understand what you're reading? I learned when God says that, say no. Because obviously he knows something that you don't. And so I got to the point of going like, no, man, I don't know. I don't know nothing, Lord. And God would start revealing the word to me and talking the word. And in this one time, I remember I was reading the word, and it got to this place that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I was reading on, and God stopped me. He goes, Randy, do you understand what you just read? I said, yeah, God, I understand, you know, that you've called a lot of people, but some of them just didn't make the mark, and you kicked them out. And he goes, no, Randy, no. He says, many are called, but few answer the call. I knew that. I was just testing you, God. You passed. You got it, dude. No problem. You're right in there. But God, he wants us to come into a place beyond what we are walking in. He wants to stretch our tent pegs so we are so stretched out that all we can do is say, God, have mercy. I can't take anymore. And he says, yes, you can. Let me stretch you a little bit more. Oh, God, it hurts so bad. And he goes, yeah, I know. Sometimes I wonder about God's love, you know? Really? You love me? And I'm stretched out here? What are you doing? But God is wanting to take us. He wants to change us. He wants to change our mind thinking. He wants us to be stretched out. He wants us to press in. He wants us to press through. And when we can press in, we can press through. And then God's saying, hey, I'm going to give you more. How many here are ready for more? See, that's what God wants. He wants you broke free. I could teach you something that would break you free in finances. I mean, I'll tell you right now that literally that will change your life, and you could actually be making more money than you are right now. How many would like to do that? Okay, I'm not going to teach that today, though. But I could do it. I could do it. I tell you what, Tracy and I, we came from a place of being very, very poor. And we were in full-time ministry, and we were very, 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 very poor. And if it wasn't for just God just being there, and I got up on our mountain, and I remember I just started screaming at God. I got to this point where literally I was screaming at God. I was saying, God, either I am serving a liar or I am serving the truth. You better tell me now what it is. Because, I mean, our power was shut off and it was dead of winter. Dead of winter. We didn't have we had $10. And we heard that Kim Page, a friend of mine, an evangelist, was in town. And so we said, hey, $10 isn't going to get our power turned back on. I had a quarter of a tank of gas so we could go to Willow. And I said, so let's just go get blessed. Our power's turned off. I had a generator welder that I hooked to the furnace. And so we took off. Dead of winter, going up there. And we didn't say nothing to nobody, nothing. We just sat there and just praised God, worshiped God. The offering came around. Our $10 went in it. Because God spoke to me and he said this. He says, quit saying what you're saying. Judith talked about it on watching what we speak. And I want to touch on that. And I'm telling you, the anointing is getting stronger. I always tell because my mouth gets drier and I start shaking even more. And so we were there, and so Kim took the offering, you know, and then he stopped and he goes, you know, God's telling me right now that we need to take the offering again. And he says, because God wants to bless them. Well, the offering came around, and my $10 already got in. And I says, well, God, just bless them. And I took it and passed it on, you know. And what else can I do? And so, and they took it in. They didn't even count it. They stuffed it in the envelope. And he says, you know, Randy, would you step out? He threw the money at me, and it hit me in the chest. And it was like somebody hit me with a truck. And he says, you've been blessing and blessing and blessing. It's time to be blessed. And so anyway, it was going to be $800 and some to get. This is cool. It was going to be over $800 and some to get our power turned back on. So we counted the money and we counted it, you know, when we got home. And there's almost $1,000 in there. Isn't God good? And what God has done with me, he wants to do it with you, but you've got to change your mind thinking. You've got to start thinking prophetically, even on your giving. Come on. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a false teaching. But, you know, like if you're going to sow, you know, brother, put it, you know, like you need a car, you know, and sow into it, and you're going to, you know, and claim that as a car. No. No. I'm going to tell you this. If you take your whatever you can give and you put it in the offering and you say, Father God, you're the one that multiplies. And you put it in there and you say, you are my provision. See, Jehovah Jireh, first of all, let me teach you something, does not mean God our provider. It means God's provision shall be seen. Abram's on the mountain. He's getting ready to stab Isaac. You know, cut him up, mince him up. And the father and the little boy goes, Papa, where's the offering? And he goes, God's provision shall be seen. That's Jehovah Jireh. See, we just think, oh, God, you're going to provide all our needs. And no, his provision's going to be seen. You change your mind thinking. You just start thinking prophetically on everything you put your mind to, everything you put your hand to, everything you start even needing. If you have a need, start thinking of it prophetically. As you start thinking of it prophetically, God will intercede and he will meet your needs. That's what he says. Romans 12:2 says, you know, we need to conform our minds. Well, I'm going to tell you, you need to start taking your mind and start thinking prophetically and start thinking how God thinks. I'm telling you the truth. Tracy and I started doing it, and we literally started getting ourselves out of poverty because we changed our mind thinking, and we started aligning up with this rhythm that God has, and we started lining up with the way God thinks, and we started thinking the way prophetically should be thinking, and God changed what we did. Because he said this, he said in Matthew 16:19, he says, and I will give you keys to the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. I started binding that spirit of poverty. I'm telling you the truth. And my wife and I started speaking. We looked at our checkbook that had a negative on it, and we said, you're a liar. Because God's word says that he will be seen in his provision. Not that he's just our provider, that he said that his provision will be seen. Man, we got to get rid of this stinking thinking. We got to get rid of this. I'm going to just say it, okay? You can stone me, I don't care. I'm just going to go be with Jesus sooner. We got to get out of the church mindset. See, we've gotten so churchy. Come on. We've gotten so churchy, we've missed out what God's really wanting to do. God wants to show his power. God wants to show his love in a way that will set you free. Come on. There's nothing more than what a prophet's really to do is to speak things for you to get you set free. See, a prophet will never speak to your sin. Come on. A prophet will only speak to you, Christ are perfected. In other words, he will only see the perfection that Christ, God sees in you, and he will speak it. God will never speak to your sin or about your sin. True statement. He will only prophesy through a prophet, Christ perfected, the perfection that God has for you that he sees already at the end. See, God wants us to stretch ourselves. He wants us to push in. He wants us to get beyond where we're at. I started to tell you, how do I see or hear from God? Well, I'm a seer, but I'm a hearer. I hear the audible voice of God. I will hear God in the quiet voice, but I will sometimes, I hear the audible voice of God. But since the time I was born again, I didn't know that that's not normal for people. I didn't know that. I would just get in the presence of God and he'd talk to me. I thought everybody did that. Until I went to this church, I went and visited this church, and I was just somebody invited me to go to this men's thing, and I went to this men's thing. It was the most boring thing I ever went to, and still to this day. But this guy, this guest speaker, he's talking, and he's going on, and he's supposed to be prophet so-and-so with a so-and-so degree and a couple other so-and-sos, but he was really boring. And he was talking about the Bible. Now, you got to understand, 3 years, all I had was the Bible and the Holy Spirit. I didn't have nobody else. I had read the Bible inside, backwards, forwards. I mean, I knew the word. And this guy went on, and he was going on. And then I was going like, excuse me. He goes, I'll answer your questions in a minute. I go, I don't have a question. But you know what? The scriptures you're using them wrong, and you're misquoting them. And he goes, what? Who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? I said, I know that you're the guy that's misquoting the Bible. And I don't know what version you're using, but you need to throw it away and get one like mine. Because how you're using the word is wrong. And see, now all of these guys that were sitting around this table, they were going like, So then you could see them going through their Bible. And I heard this one guy, his name's Bart, by the way. I haven't seen him for 30 years. He goes, the kid's right. The kid's right. And kid's right. And the guy, I looked at this guy and says, you need to go somewhere and repent. And I was just a guest there. And so that night I go, and so anyway, they came and they were going like, wow, Randy, that was amazing, you know, like, wow. I go, yeah, well, where were you? This was the pastor. Where were you? You should have known to stop him. You should have been, you know, protecting your flock. You know, where were you? And so he came at me, he says, man, Randy, would you share, you know, like, you know, Wednesday night, you know, because, you know, like, we'd really like to have you share. And I did, and it was a whole different story that of humility and that, and I'm not going to tell you. I covered everything? Okay. If you'd stand to your feet, we're going to show you how God works. If you just stand to your feet. Okay, you don't have to, but if you do, it's okay. I just want you to stretch and wake up. I want you to turn your palms up to God right now. Now, about 25 years ago, I started this thing in Valdez and demonstrating the power of God, and I'd put my hand over their hand, and I wouldn't touch them. And I said, now, when you start feeling the heat, let me know. Man, this girl is so anointed. Praise God. You tell me when you start feeling something you're feeling. Okay, now I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to say, Papa, just give me more. Daddy, just give me more. And you're starting to feel it. It'll get more and more and warmer in your hand. And it'll start getting more. And then you can open your eyes because I'm not there. And so you know it's got to be the Spirit of God that's bringing the heat because it's not me anymore. So you can't say it's a parlor trick. You can't say anything. So we're going to do something different. Are you hungry tonight? Are you desperate to be set free and to move into a newer realm, to press your borders, to stretch your tent pegs, to get into a newer realm with God? If you are, if you can be serious enough with that, I want you just to look at your hands right now. See, the Bible says this, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So in your palms of your hands, the kingdom of God. You hold the power, you hold the kingdom, you hold the authority of God in the palms of your hands. Now you need to start looking at your hands and thinking about it more prophetically instead of what you're doing normally. You've got to start saying, wow, God, I have the power of God. I was in Ethiopia, and we have this on video. We saw a dead lady raised from the dead, and I didn't even touch her. Matter of fact, I was being very holy. I was joking around, laughing, making fun of everything. And everybody was going like, she's dead. Can't you be a little bit more? And I went, no, I can't. This is me. But we watched the power of God. It had nothing to do with me. Just like right now, it has nothing to do with me. Right now, it has everything to do with how hungry are you. Because you know what? I can go through, I can pray for everybody here. But I don't want you to see anything or receive from a man. I want you to receive from Papa God. Because he can do more than I can. He can do more than I can. Karen, I believe God said when you prayed for me earlier tonight, I want you to stand there with your hands. Just stand there and receive. When you prayed for me earlier today, I just felt literally the heat and the power coming from you. You're going to be a demonstrator of the power of God. You're going to be one of those that people are, when you start praying for them, they're going to go, whoa. Because you're going to be a demonstrator. You're going to have the power literally come out of you, and you're going to feel it, and they're going to feel it and know it. But you're going to be a demonstrator of the power of God. The power of God is in your hands. The power to raise the dead is in your hands. Everybody says, the power's in my hands. Now you got to believe it. Look in your hands and say, the power is in my hands. Do you believe it? Robert said something here a couple months ago. He said that I gave him a word and he received it. And it happened. I'm giving you a word right now. I'm releasing a word over you now that the power of God is in your hands. I speak it now in the name of Jesus. Now it is up to you to receive it. Receive it. Receive it. You will lay hands on more sick and more sick. You will see recover, especially those with incurable diseases. As you lay hands on them, I see even blind eyes. As you lay hands on them, you're going to see new eyes formed. Even where there are no eyes, glass eyes, fake eyes, cat eyes, whatever. As you lay hands on them, you're going to see new eyes recover. You will even see glass eyes see. I loose that now. I loose that now. See, the power of God is for every person, everyone that calls upon his name. There's no one favorite. God has no favorite. No favorite. No favorite. No favorite. No favorite. You need to start seeing yourself how God sees you. You need to look in the mirror and you need to look at yourself and say, this is the, and look at yourself the way God looks at you. God sees you as his special child. You need to start seeing God the way, or see you the way God sees you. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Robert, the gold is for provision. You will never lack. The moose is because you will never go hungry. The Lord just spoke to me saying that there was a reason. It's because you will never lack. You and your wife are blessed, and people that know you and see you, they will call you blessed. Hallelujah. Mike, back to earth, Mike. Remember that word I gave you last night? Okay, you remember the word last night? It's still the same tonight. It didn't change. That was a joke, I'm sorry. See, wait on God. The Bible says in Isaiah 30:18, last sentence, it says, blessed are those that wait upon him. If you are not feeling yet the presence in your hands, it's got to be tangible. It's got to be something you feel. If you're not feeling it in your hands, lift your hands up to higher to him. Because, see, God is pouring out. God's pouring out. God's pouring out. Brother right there standing by the table. Can you come back to earth for a minute? Man, I hated to, man, you look like you're with God. God wants you to know that there's many people that don't know God that are around you. God's put you into a place where there's a lot of unsaved people. God says, open your mouth. I will fill it, and I will give you the words to speak. I will give you a new understanding of my word. I will give you a new understanding of how to present my word, and you will see many, many, many come to know God through your testimony and through what God is going to put into your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in, we were in Jamaica. Those of you who need to sit, you can sit, but I just, man, wait for God. I'm going to keep on, but you need to wait on God. I was in Jamaica, and I had fallen in the bathtub, and I fell really hard, and it was to the point where I could not feel past my waist. I couldn't feel my legs, couldn't move my legs, couldn't do nothing. And the only water that we could get, we were in the only place that had running water because we were in the poorest of area, and it was cold water. And so I was laying there with this cold water just pouring down on me, and I couldn't feel. I was crying out, yelling for Tracy, and she couldn't hear me. And it was just like minutes before I was supposed to go and minister. And we went in, and so I finally crawled out of the bathtub, and I got dried off, and I was crying out to God, and I could start moving my legs, and that couldn't feel them, but I could move them. And so I got dressed, and I slowly walked out and got to Tracy, and I said, I've been crying, and I had tears, and I said, Tracy, I've been calling out for you and crying out to you, and you know, I told her what had happened, and she goes, man, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. And so anyway, then we walked from there. We had to walk to the church, and we had been there for a week, and the church was packed, and even the grounds around the church was packed. They put speakers outside because it was just so many people. And I got up in front, and I mean, I was in so much pain. I couldn't even read my Bible. I couldn't make out any words. Nothing. I didn't know. I couldn't make out what chapter I was at. Couldn't make out nothing. I was in agony. And so I had to, and so the worship went on. And so I got up and I told people, I says, I'm sorry, I have nothing for you. And I told them I fell and the whole story. And I says, I have nothing. You know, it's, you know, whatever, you got to get desperate for God. And as soon as I said that, the glory cloud came in the church and it kind of swirled around. And we have videos. I mean, I have to back these up, and because I tell this to people, I go, yeah, right. But no, the glory cloud came in, and it swirled around the place, and it would swirl over a person, and it would make like a funnel, and it would come down on them, and as soon as it hit them, I'd start prophesying. And it would go to another person, it would fall, and I'd start prophesying. And it would go over here, and it'd fall, and I'd start prophesying. And there's this lady that was there, and she had come to die, and because she had cancer all throughout her body. And so I started prophesying, and I laid hand, and I rebuked death. And this lady, is crippled and sore she was, took off dancing. And I'm telling you what, this woman took off dancing. I now know how David, you asked Tracy, how David, when he said that he danced out of his clothes, these people started to, well, these funnel clouds started falling on them. They took off dancing. They danced so violently, their clothes literally were coming off. The elders and the deacons and the women were trying to put their clothes on, wrap scarves around them or anything, because they couldn't stop dancing. And then I started dancing. Come on. Look, man, if I sway, I'm dancing. I'm swaying to the music. Man, that's dancing, man. I might even tap my foot as I'm doing it. Then I'm really into it. You know? But anyway, I broke out in dance, and literally, as I broke out in dance, the pain was gone. Another time we were doing a GLOW conference. I'm doing this because some of you need to be hearing this and waiting on God. I was at a GLOW conference, and I was kind of like the last resort for them for a speaker. They had gone through their whole list, and nobody else would come. And they said, "Well, I'll get Randy." And Randy goes, "Oh, do it." And so I go there, and so I mean, literally, the power of God was going through this place like crazy. And have you ever said anything you wish you could take back and shove down your throat? I said, "If you know anybody that's terminal, get them on your cell phone now." And I'm not kidding. You ask Tracy, I felt like a rock star with all the lights of the phones like this. I mean, there was like 80-some people with cell phones out, and I'm sitting there going like, "Whoa, am I somebody yet?" And so anyway, I started praying, and literally for 2 years, we kept getting testimonies of people were saying that the light would come into the room so bright they couldn't even see, and the heat was so immense that they couldn't do it. One lady called us up. She had stage 4 breast cancer. She said that it was so bad that her breasts were black. And that she would, they said that she was going to die. And there was nothing they could do about it at all, period, nothing, nada. And so she says, literally, as you started praying over the phone, the power of God and the light came in so bright, she says, "I couldn't even stand it. My breast started burning like fire." She says, "I couldn't even put a sheet or anything to touch them, that there was so much pain." And she says, that night, she says, all the pain left. And she says, "I didn't take a morphine pill." So the next morning, she thought she was going to have a morphine withdrawal, but she didn't have any pain, so she didn't take another pill because she didn't have a withdrawal. So then she noticed by the next day that the color has started coming back. It has now turned to gray. By the end of that next night, it had pink. By the third day, she was totally healed, set free. The doctor sent us the report that she was totally cancer-free. Nothing had done anything, but the light, the power of God came in that room. I'm telling you something. If a prophet speaks, receive it. If a prophet speaks, accept it. Listen to it, because I'll tell you what, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, here's the trick part about it. It's either going to happen to you, or it's going to happen to you. See, God's not a respecter of peace and people. He'd rather happen to everybody. But I'll tell you what, it's how hungry are you? How desperate are you? How much are you willing to say, "God, just use me"? Get hungry for God. Get hungry for God. Get hungry for God. Get hungry for God. You used to have dreams when you were younger, and the dreams kind of faded away. And God wants you to know that dreams are going to start coming back to you, brother. God's going to start giving you dreams and visions for your people. He's going to give you a new hunger and love for your people. And God's going to take you, and he's going to put you back in that place where you're going to start being effective to see your people, free. Because I told you, we're coming into a time of Shabbat rest. Shabbat Shalom is rest with peace. Because of the year we're in, we're coming into this place of rest and peace. After a farmer gets done pulling in the crop, he goes through this time of rest. And after this time of rest, he puts together his offering. And then as he gets his offering and he gives his offering, then he comes into this time of peace. And just as he gets ready to give his offering, he comes to a place, and there's a descriptive word, because they would get into a celebration to bring in their offerings. And that word is manach. The word means, it's a descriptive word. It actually describes ecstasy. It means it's a heightened form of excitement. That's what it's talking about. It's describing excitement. There was an excitement for the people, the farmers, to give their offerings, because if they know, if they give their offerings, that God is going to come back and give them a better harvest next year. But because we're coming into the season of Shabbat Shalom, we, at the end of it, we're going to come into Amos chapter 9, where it talks about that one that reaps is going to overrun the one that treads. Because we're coming into a time of God that is going to blow our minds. He's taking us beyond what the church has been teaching us, wanting us to walk in. I'll tell you what, God never called us just to go to a four-wall building and say, hey, this is my church, this is it. The Bible says that God said, go into all the world. And if you look in your Bible, you know that go? It's got little exclamation marks and highlight. Have you noticed that? That means he was going, go! He wasn't saying, okay, now go. That's not right. If you read the Bible, it's got a little exclamation mark, and it's got little, you know, highlights, things, you know, little, whatever those little doohickeys are. Worst guy in college on English. I'm telling you, I 20 years of college here. Can anybody beat that? And I'm still dumber than a rock. 20 years of college. And I found out, I went to 20 years of college to find out I cannot spell. I did good in high school. I don't know what happened in college, but I can. And English, forget that. They used to, college used to, UA, I love them. They used to give tutors to try to get me to understand conjunction, junctions, and all those other functions, and I couldn't get it. I just couldn't. I would look at them and go, what are you talking about? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Well, Randy, you got to do that if you're going to be a writer. I'm not a writer. Why do I need that stuff? So anyway, they had an agreement. The English department and the dean had an agreement. So for 20 years, I took speech classes. True statement. Every time I had to come up with an English class, they'd go, speech. So I sit in speech class, and my speech teachers would go, you again. Can't we just push you through? I think that's what they, I think that's what they graduated me for, just so I didn't do it again. God wants to take the foolish stuff. If he can take this fool, he can take any other fool. Bible says, call no man a fool. I'm not. I'm calling myself. Because I look at where God took, brought me out of. Drugs, alcohol. Man, I used to beat people up for a living. That was the truth. I was a bad person. I wasn't always this sweet. I mean, I'm pretty great now. I'll admit that. But it took God to do that. It did. It took God to do that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. What do you want to do, God? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Is your parents here? This your son? Can you stand up? You're not going to have to worry about trying to find your dad's God. God's going to reveal himself to you the way you are going to receive him. There's going to be an awakening that's going to happen to you that's literally going to set you on fire. Your mom and dad are not going to be able to keep up with you. I'm telling you what, you're going to take this gospel and you're going to take the word of God. And I saw you taking off, running, and fire coming from your feet. And you're going to run with the gospel, and you're going to run with the truth, and you're going to run with the power, because God's going to reveal the power of him to you in a real way that you'll understand. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? When you come out of your shell, when you come out of the things that you kind of locked yourself off from God on, you're going to be a powerhouse. You're going to be a powerhouse. There's power that God wants to release. Hold on now. Hold on now. There you go. You just got to wait for it. God's going to restore the joy that you have lost. And the Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. More, God. More, 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 more. More of God. More of you. More of you. More of you. More, 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 more. More, 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 more. Fire, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand up, please? Let me see your hands. Oh, shout. Oh, man. Man, I'm going to knock myself over. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God hasn't passed you by. God hasn't forgotten you. God looks upon you and he smiles. Even when you're walking around your house and you're singing and you're just praising God and you don't think anyone's listening, God is, and he likes it. And you know what? He says, don't be a closet singer. Bring that voice out. Every time when you get church, you've been back. God says, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Because you let go. When you let go, when you let go, power that's going to come from your voice when you sing is going to be earth-shattering. 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 More God. More God. That's it. That's it. Let's just let the Son of God, just the sunshine of God, not Jesus, Son of God, the Son, you know, like the light guy part. Let the heat of God just come upon you. Hallelujah. Just let that heat just come. There it is. There it is. Hallelujah. Let him wreck it. It's like the one place in your house that you can really clean and let him wreck it. Let him wreck it. Let him wreck it. Let him move things around. Let him put the shoes in a different area than what you have them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There it is. Just let him have more of you. Let him have more of you. That's what it's all about. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep receiving. Just keep receiving. Just because it's over for a minute, it's not over. He wants to keep on. He wants to keep on. Hallelujah. Holy God. God's not done with you. God's not done with you. God's not done with you. God's going to clear your eyes. He's going to give you eyes to see. He's going to Hushamaraniko. Oramashanamande. If you can ask God for one thing, God says now's the time to ask him. If you can ask, you've been praying, and you have a couple things that you've been asking God, but if you can ask God, there it is. If you can ask God one thing, ask him now. That's it. Now receive more. Just say more, God. That's the anointing going through you. More, God. And just say, keep saying more. More. Hallelujah. See, God wants to set us free. God wants to set us free. God doesn't want us to be the same. Man, I hate it, dude. I've been fighting this one all night. Mary, I have a word for you. Oh, God. It's Mary Glacier. I love Mary because I can have fun with her. Hallelujah. Mary, you know, God's... God just really doesn't like you. But he loves the snot out of you. He loves you. And Mary, you've been sensing a change in your ministry. You've been changing, feeling a change in the anointing. You've been feeling this change, and you kind of think you almost got it, where you think you kind of almost think you know what it is. But it's what God's doing with you and in you. He's taking you up, Mary. He's taking you. No, you're not going home with him yet. No, you're not beating me there yet. God is taking you to a higher height with him, a higher calling, a higher understanding of him. There's a new awareness even that God's bringing to you about his spirit. And even though you are a spiritual person and you teach more than anybody I know that teaches on spiritual things, but God is taking you to a higher height, a higher calling, if you will. God has a newer place for you, a new rung on the ladder. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing God's causing you to take another step up. He's calling you. He's saying, Mary, take a step up, for I have a new walk with you. I have a new call for you. I have a new awareness with you. I have a new robe for you. And I saw this robe, and this robe was brilliantly white. And it was trimmed with this brilliantly, like a rose color, and it had blues and purples, and it was just gorgeous. And God says, I have a new robe. There's a higher height I'm taking you to. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Man, I can just stand here and prophesy, or do you have something you want to do? I can do it. Priscilla, stand up, please. Stand up, sweetie. Priscilla, God's just showing me that there's areas that you have put duct tape on to try to mend things. And God wants you to tear the duct tape off. As you tear the duct tape off, his spirit's going to heal you. All the hurts, all the things that has gone on in the past and is from the childhood forward, God says, I'm going to heal you. I am going to set you free. And when I set you free, that there will be nothing, nothing, nothing can ever come back up to haunt you, bug you, do anything against you, because you have come from you're coming from a place of victory already. Now God's just going to show you how to walk in that victory. But he says, take off the duct tape. And as you tear off the duct tape, yeah, you're going to expose the wounds, but immediately the Holy Spirit will heal you. Hallelujah. Somebody here, you have pain in your eyes. You just get pain in your eyes. Who is it? Okay, stand up. Take your glasses off for a minute. Put both hands over your eyes. Hallelujah. See, I don't believe I have to be the one to lay hands. I don't believe that. Why has it got to be about a person? Why can't it be about God? Even the Pharisees told Jesus, physician, heal thyself. So, Father, I just speak right now to this, the eyes, the pain. Hallelujah. It's more in your left eye than your right. And I just speak to it now that you would be whole in Jesus' name. No more pain. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody here with a hip. Who's got a hip? You got a pain in your hip. If you got a pain in your hip, stand up. Everybody stands up. What the heck's been going on in church? Man. Man, we should be praying for you, everybody. Hey, whatever hip it is, put your hand on it. Whatever hip it is, I want you to put your hand on that hip. Hallelujah. Now you're going to wait. You're going to feel something. You're going to feel something. Father, Papa, I just ask you right now that you would heal. You said you would. You went through all the areas, Lord God, healing every infirmity. Father, we know that we are healed. But Father God, we battle with symptoms. Symptoms is an infirmity. And so, Father, I speak to these infirmities and I command them to go in Jesus' name. All pain to go, all inflammation to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, do something you shouldn't have done. That means do something. It doesn't hurt all the time? Does it hurt now? It won't either. No. You can call me and let me know. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody else, yeah, you've been having like upper stomach problems, pain in your upper stomach. Who is it? Come on. Okay, put your hand on your stomach. Is it hurt now first? Okay. But every once in a while it bothers you? Okay. Well, now in the name of Jesus, it will not inflict you again. See, the Bible tells us that we're healed. We are healed. Not that we're going to be, not that we should be, not that we deserve to be. It's that we are healed. But see, then people say, well, why are we sick? Well, you're sick because you're healed, but you're fighting this affliction of infirmity. You know, you're fighting symptoms of something. And so it's the sicknesses can't be on you, but the infirmities can. Because Jesus even went around healing the infirmities. And so what we need to understand is changing this mind thinking. Again, we need to start thinking, hey, I'm healed. Then what is this going on here? Then we need to start saying, God, you said you went through healing all infirmities. I just come against this infirmity. Look up what infirmity is. Infirmity is a symptom that you can't be explained. That's what an infirmity is. It's a symptom that's not or cannot be explained. So we have infirmities that we need to start speaking to. And then, because we already have victory, and then we can start walking in that victory. Come on. Amen. Ma'am, would you come here for a minute, please? Right there, would you just lift your hands up to God? And all the things that you've been asking God for, all the things that you've been needing of God is going to come upon you. You're going to feel it just going to just wash through you. It's going to wash over you. There it is. And just flood you. There it is. There it is. There it is. More. And now you ask God one time that you wanted to feel his fire. Why did you ask him you wanted to feel his fire? Man. Okay, God. She asked for it. Fire, Lord. Just let your anointing come, Father God, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet with fire. Fire now, Lord God. You're going to be an earth shaker. You're going to be an earth changer. You're going to be one of those that just come, and you're not going to be afraid to jump into the anointing and start flowing and going. However crazy it might seem or whatever, you're going to be one of those that are going to just be, just yes, God, and you're going to go. And so, Father, I just pray right now from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord God, that Father, that there be fire. Fire, Lord. Fire, Lord. Hushara makiyata sa. More, God. More, 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 more from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. More, Jesus. More, Jesus. Hushara masa. Hallelujah. Hushara masandi yatosi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sir, they're going to be calling you and saying, would you please come to the hospital and pray? Amen. And maybe you do that already, but the kingdom of God that he was praying about, that's in your hands. He says, he was telling me that it's been in your hands for a long time. But he says that he's giving you results. And so when you go to the hospital and you're sitting down with the people and they're hurting, just reach out and pray for them. Because he's giving you the results of his kingdom. And then there's going to be a time when they're going to start calling you up and asking you to come to the hospital and pray. Because truly the kingdom of God is in your hands.
The Lord says that you know my word and you know my presence and you know the flow of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to use you to help steward his presence in a stronger and mightier way. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, he's brought you out of religion and he's bringing you more into his kingdom. And he's going to use you to even not only draw people into the place where you minister, but you're coming out too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is kingdom connecting you with other kingdom-minded people to host the Holy Spirit. There is one thing to recognize Holy Spirit, but there's a whole new realm to host Holy Spirit. And you are the hoster of Holy Spirit. Oh, holy, holy. Hallelujah. I was hearing a ringing in ears earlier. If there's anyone who has ringing in ears, stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for healing the ringing in the ears, Lord God. I thank you and I praise you, Jesus, that you are the healer. You are the great I am. And by your stripes, all of these ears are healed tonight in the name of Jesus. And the ringing stops. And Lord, I thank you for correcting even the balance within them, oh God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're bringing their something into correct alignment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Those of you that have been battling blood sugar, elevated blood sugar, just stand up. Lord, I receive the word of the prophet tonight about the kingdom of God being in our hands. And I just command the blood sugar levels to go down in every single one of these bodies. I command an increase in the pancreas to dissolve the sugars and deal with the sugars in the body. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, God, Lord, that these bodies will process the sugars the way they were designed to. God, I just rebuke that thing that would cause the sugars to be elevated and cause there to be even destruction on these bodies. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
And there's a real spirit of fear that some of you have been dealing with, and it's almost like it's gripped your it almost paralyzes you. And the Lord wants to say that he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. All weekend long, there's been a real spirit of deliverance and healing, even from trauma and healing in our natural bodies. And tonight I sense that again, that he's coming to deliver Some of you here from a paralyzing spirit of fear that comes to torment you. It just comes to torment you, and it just blows things even out of proportion in your mind, and it's paralyzing almost. And so just receive your deliverance from this spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In 2001, I was in Fairbanks at Open Door Church, and I was there for a week to do revival meetings. And again, I had one of those moments that I said something that I wish I didn't, and that, you know, it's because really God's just testing to see how faithful you are, you know, or how stupid you are to say it. And I'm standing there, and I'm fighting. I'm sitting there, I'm sweating because I'm the Lord, because these are one of those words that, you know, God has been having me give words that are just really easy to give. A lady in Florida came up, and she was, and they drug her up actually to to have me pray for her. And I says, you know, what do you want prayer for? And she says, I don't want anything from you or God. I actually said, your God. She didn't say God. And I said, well, what's the problem? She says, well, my sister had cancer, and I fasted and I prayed and I prayed and I fasted, and she still died. And then my brother got cancer, and I fasted and I prayed and I prayed and I fasted, and he still died. So he says, if we have a God that loves us, why would they die? And what came out of my mouth was something that was like just caught me, you know, because God just does that. I must be like Balaam's donkey, man, you know, like, you know, just, you know, I just bleh. And I says, they died because he loved them. And this woman just broke and cried out to God. But I was in Fairbanks in 2001, get back to my story, and God gives me these words that are not really the ones that I want to give. But I stood up on a Thursday night and I said, how many women here have weight they want to lose? I said, because by Sunday you'll lose it. Man, try to stand on that word. And I said that, and I said, what the heck did I just say? And man, everybody in the church stood up, you know, except me. I had a great figure. And so I says, how many here want to lose weight? And I said, by Sunday, you're losing this one, you know, like 10, 20s were going around. You know, one lady says, I want to lose 45 pounds. And I said, man, you better get real close to God. You know. And so, but anyway, by Sunday, literally, this is the truth. It was at Brad Snow's church, you can call, you know. Every woman that stood up and spoke what they wanted to lose lost the exact pound that they spoke. True statement. This true up. And I'm standing there over there, and God said it again. He says, tell them this. And I said, no. And he said, Randy, go speak it again. I went, no. There's other prophets in here. Go have them do it. I'm not getting into your business. I'm not going to have you stand up. I want you to tell, if you need to lose weight, you want to lose weight, I don't care if you want to lose weight or not. But if you have weight, male, female, dog, cat, I don't care, church mouse, I don't care. If you need to lose weight, you've been trying and trying, and nothing works. You've been seeking God. You've been seeking this program, that program. You've been eating, you know, collard greens. You've been eating all these other things that are nasty as all get out. And you're trying to think that I'm drinking cod liver oil like Coca-Cola. Thinking that this is going to, if that's been you and you just can't get it, you can't get a hold of it, you can't get a grasp of it, I want you to get real with God right now because I'm going to loose it over you. Now, I don't want you to call out your weight. That's between you and God. I don't care if it's 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 4 pounds. I don't really care if you want to gain weight. You know? I really don't. It's not between me and you. Because I probably won't, I guarantee I won't see you for at least 4 months because Tracy and I leave next weekend. And for about 4 months, we'll be touring. And matter of fact, anybody who wants to pray for us, man, we'll take the prayer. But tonight, if you're here and you have a weight, it's between you and God. I'm going to pray over you. But you better get real. And don't go, don't do these fun things. Like, don't tell me, like, if you weigh 160 pounds and you say, God, I want to lose 120. No, just be real with God. Be real. As you're real with God, God will be real with you. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm obedient to your word. It is not up to me that you do or don't. I'm only the voice that you told me to speak. And whatever is on the heart of your people now, I loose it in the name of Jesus. And I bind every hindrance of them receiving or getting to that goal now in the name of Jesus. I pray right now that by the end of this year, that their goals would be met and they would be healthy doing it. That you would give them revelation of what to, and should to eat. That, Father God, you have a plan, you have a purpose. And, Father, we just want to line up right now in whatever, Father God, that is being spoke. We agree now in the name of Jesus with your spirit now. This is a now moment. No, Karen, you don't need to lose any more weight. She's going, 20 more pounds, please, God. No, she's not. Skinny little rail. I don't want to lose weight. No, I'm just picking on her.
Yeah. You know, I want to say something to you. When Randy was praying for us about the kingdom of God being in our hands, I said, Lord, I receive that. The power of your kingdom in my hands. And the reason why is because I know it to be true as far as receiving the word of a prophet. And in 2000, we were at one of Mary's conferences. I think it was maybe the first one we went to. And we went in one of those little rooms to get prayed for with 10 other people. And Randy Baskett was in that room. Just going to let him know because it's important. And he came over to me and he said, Sir, I see a check being written in heaven for you. And I said, oh man, that's great. That's just great. A check in heaven. And then he went on to say, in the amount I see being written is $50,000. And I said, not only that, he says, I see you driving a brand new van, and it's green in color. And boom, 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 boom. He was saying, you know, it's like $50,000. I said, yes. And then I just thought about it, and I said, Lord, I receive that right now in the name of Jesus. And 6 months later, our native corporation said, we're giving all of our shareholders $50,000 apiece. You know what? He prophesied that over me. But God will bless thousands just to bless you. God will bless thousands of people just to bless you. And not only that, He'll bless thousands of people just so that the word of the Lord through the prophet will come to pass. So if I've got the kingdom of God in my hands, and you got it too, you're just going to have to receive that and act upon it. And whatever stands in the way of His kingdom. And we're in that place. And we are in that place where something's standing in the way of His kingdom prospering. Well, we have His power and His truth. At the conference in May, Chuck Pierce, another prophet, put a mantle over me. And he said, this is the mantle of power and truth. And I've been proclaiming that over myself ever since. And not only that, I've been proclaiming it over others. The power and the truth of God. And I'm still grasping that one. But you know what? He's showing it to me. He's showing me. And you know what? This is a season of Him showing us. There's going to be some people walking around here a little bit lighter on their toes pretty soon. Me included. This weekend's been wonderful. I can't wait to see what else is going to happen next week.